So the big question is this. How do entrepreneurial salespeople like us, who have traditionally sold alone and used gut and intuition to hit their number, take their innate talents and begin selling using science, technology, and the secrets of thousands who have done it before to crush their quota and change the world? That is the question, and this podcast provides the answer.
Hey everybody, today I wanted to go over a topic that I did as a webinar with the American Association of Inside Sales Professionals, Bob Perkins and I, who is the founder of that association. We talked about this concept that has just been on my mind lately. It's sales engagement and the fundamental concept of sales engagement, sales cadence. I believe there's multiple pillars you have to master in order to have a great prospecting strategy. So I wanted to take you through this talk track I went through with Bob on the four laws of building sales cadence. Let's do it.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to AAISP's webinar series. My name is Bob Perkins. I'm with the AAISP. It's great that you could join us today. In fact, I think we had a record turnout with over 600 registrations. Today's topic, we're going to be talking about how to have more conversations. You know, today it's harder and harder to get someone on the telephone. A lot of times they don't even have a landline desk phone and they're on their mobile. So our presenter today is going to talk about all sorts of things with the goal to get more conversations. With us today is Gabe Larson from InsideSales.com. Gabe, how are you, sir?
Fantastic. Excited to be here, Bob. Appreciate it.
All right. Well, look, we've worked with Gabe for so many years. We've worked with InsideSales.com. They've been a partner, a sponsor, almost from the very beginning. And it's great to work with you again this year. In fact, you'll be out to the Leadership Summit in April. But Gabe is a thought leader. He's the VP of growth, and he's also a recipient of the top 25 most influential inside sales professionals. So yeah. Congrats on that. We're going to do something a little different, Gabe. And because you have made possible to the attendees two guest passes at no charge out to the Leadership Summit. Yep. So let's go to that slide if we could. So everyone pay attention now. Cameron on our team sent everyone registered an email with this information. You may not have gotten to your email yet, but you will have this in your inbox. So what is the contest? It'll be a lot of fun. Step one, get out to LinkedIn and follow AAISP at AAISP. Step number two, from this webinar, share on LinkedIn something you learned or a tip. During the, you know, what you took away from this webinar. Make sure you do two things in that share. Tag at AISP and at InsideSales.com. And be sure to use hashtag LS2019. And at the end of today, Cameron on our team is going to select two recipients for guest passes to the summit. It would cost almost $1,600. So we hope you can attend. It's the world's largest gathering of inside sales leaders. It's our number one event. Gabe, you're going to be there. InsideSales.com is going to be there. And we really appreciate your support. Today's topic, it's going to be great. So without further ado, over to Gabe.
Thank you, Bob. Excited to kind of get going here, you guys, and participate in that activity. I think that'll be fantastic on LinkedIn. So make sure you jump in and do it. And boy, are we excited about the April conference. So guys, I want this to be as interactive as possible. So if you haven't already, open up your chat window, type your name and where you're from. I want you to get used to using the chat box. Let's make this as interactive. I want to answer the questions you want to talk about, but I'm going to go ahead and jump right in while you mention that. Blake, welcome. Dave, Jarrah, yeah, Sean, fantastic. Kevin, good old Atlanta. Tony, oh, Nicole, welcome, welcome, welcome. Good, good, good. Keep using that, guys. Let's keep the conversation fluid. So we're going to nail three things today. And I only have a short time. I got to get going. I want to hit the why, what, and the how of this concept of sales cadence. Now, Bob and I were debating. You may call a cadence a sequence. You may call it sales engagement. You call it a sales play or sales follow-up strategy. That's one of, I think, one of the problems we see in the market is what is actually a sales cadence, sequence, engagement, et cetera. So one of my hobbies is I love when people send me their sequences or plays or cadences. This is one I got about 60 days ago from a sales rep from a tech company, actually out of Salt Lake City. And he just said to me, Gabe, is this good? Is this a good kind of strategy to initiate contact with my customers? And I'd ask you guys, what do you think is good or bad about what they sent me? Feel free to put that in the chat box. So some of the things you might want to be looking out for are things like, he's done how many touches is that total? About 70 total touch. It's 77 days. That's pretty long. Is it too many touches? Is it? I mean, I don't know. What about the spacing of activities there? It looks like they go literally once a week. That was the first thing that jumped out to me. I'm like, wow. Like, I mean, in this particular contact, it literally could be every Tuesday. Restraining order. Good one, Nicole. Yeah, maybe it's a little bit much. What about the types of touches? This is outbound. Good question, Jason. This was an outbound cadence. So this is going cold to somebody, a target account. Notice they only use phone, voicemail, and email. Is that right? Is that wrong? Guys, this is an interesting debate because we all sit down and we chart this out from our teams and from our reps. But if you're like most people, a lot of those questions, they come from your gut. They don't come based on very much data. And so what I wanted to do is I wanted to back up a step and say, rather than answering all those questions with my gut, what if we actually did some research on it? What if we went in and did two really interesting things? And they're actually published in three research studies we've done over the past maybe 6 to 12 months. But let me just highlight the concept because this was awesome, you guys. This was so interesting. Number one, we went out and asked about 1,400 companies, and we asked them to tell us what they believe they do in a sales cadence. We asked them things like, hey, tell us how many touches your reps do. We wanted to get opinion data. Then we actually went into our big data set, and Inside Sales has the world's largest sales database, literally billions of sales interactions. Anytime a phone call is made, an email is made, a lead status is changed, an opportunity moved, we capture all that is part of our AI engine. So we went into the data and then looked what people were actually doing. So we have what people believed they were doing and what people were actually doing, and the results were super, super interesting. So I want to take you through that and kind of tell you what my data science team told me. And I wish you were in the room with this conversation because these are people, they're not experts in sales. And they just said to me, Gabe, we looked at the data and here's a couple things we noticed. One is a definition of a sales cadence, and we got to start there. Number one is when you talk about a cadence, you're talking about a sequence of activities to increase contact and qualification. What we're focusing on here is trying to get better conversations. And if you do and you do it right, you can qualify your people better. That was number one. Then they said to me, Gabe, we don't know a lot about sales, but when we dove into the data, if we were going to break down or sequence the DNA of a sales cadence, we'd break it into these five areas. Sometimes I talk about four, but you get the extra one today. We're going to talk about five. So they said, and again, these are data scientists. They just said, just looking at the data, if you want to build a cadence, you got to make sure you have these five elements. Okay. And let me take you through them real quick. Number one was attempts. That's what we all know. It's just the total number of touches in a cadence or a sequence. Number two is media. It's the pattern you use in the different types of media, phone, voicemail, email, etc. Next was duration. That's the start to finish, the length of time from your first touch to your last touch. And then number four is spacing. Spacing is the time between activities. And then last but not least, that kind of cherry on top was content. And content is what you're going to say in a voicemail, what you're going to say in an email, what you're going to say in a video or in some version of that. So that was how they broke down the DNA of a cadence. So then we decided to actually go into each one of these and figure out, like I said, what people believe they do versus what people maybe actually do and what they should do on each of the five elements of a sales cadence. I think you'll find this interesting. Now, one big difference in the data, and I wanted to call it out here, there is no such thing as a one-size-fits-all cadence. I'm sorry. Sorry if you've heard that from a sales trainer, that they've got this magical cadence that, you know, every single CEO responds to. I couldn't see it in the data. I'm sorry, you guys. One of the big things we did notice is outbound cadences are completely different than inbound cadences. So if you're going cold to somebody who's never heard of your company, think of that cadence completely different than when marketing generates a lead and you're following up on that. So different. All the data I'm going to share with you today is focused on outbound. Bob, you're going to have to invite me back if we want to do an inbound version of this.
We will do that.
Let's go into it. So I want to ask you guys, let's see what you think. What would you say to this question? How many total attempts do reps believe they do per contact? And you can go ahead and throw that right on our little poll question. What do reps believe they do? And again, we went out and polled the market, about 1,400 companies total, trying to figure out their total attempts. Bob, you want to put a guess in this? Or
no, I will give everyone just about 10 more seconds to click on one of those numbers. Hey, like when we ask leaders, how much coaching do you do? And they go, well, I do it 10 hours a month. And then we ask the reps and they say, well, my manager doesn't coach.
Yeah.
So I'm going to guess C or D, although Gabe, I submitted B, hedging my bet.
He submitted B. And feel free, you guys, if you want to put it in the chat, looks like Laura went with B down there. Dan's got 17.3 actual. All right. Survey says, let's see, Jen, what is it here? Oh my goodness. It's kind of across the board. How many total attempts do sales reps believe? Looks like most people thought it was about 15.1, which is not too surprising. Let's see what the actual answer is. So the actual answer was that 15.1. Now, this is fascinating because go Google optimal number of attempts in a cadence, and I promise you're going to see, when you use the word optimal, you're going to see things like 15. And why is that? It's because that's what people believe they're actually doing. And you can see we broke down the 15 attempts into kind of the different forms that people believe they do. So 4.7 phone calls, 2.9 voice messages, 0.7 SMS, 4.6 emails, 2 social touches, etc. But that's believed. So the question is now, what are they actually doing? What are reps actually doing? And again, we've looked at a couple million data points on this. So it is average. Know that by industry, it's slightly different, and you'll see some different things by company size. But as we looked at a lot, millions of data, this is what people are actually doing. What do you think here? 17, 6, 3, 1. Pretty good. Those are pretty good answers there. Some people here, what do you think, Bob?
C or D. I mean, how many times do a company doesn't even reach out to you once?
Yeah. Well, and again, remember, guys, this is outbound. This is outbound. Yes. This is not inbound. The data would be slightly different. All right, let's see what the survey said here. 57% said 3.5, 6.8. What, are you guys calling sales reps liars? Is that what I'm seeing here? It appears to be. So the actual answer was 3.5. 3.5.
We have an educated group, Gabe. They got that right, didn't they? Wasn't that the number one choice?
The funny thing is, so the actual was about, so the believed was 15, actuals was 3. Bob, that's about a 3, that's about a 4, almost a 5x difference. Now, I think I go to the gym 4 times a week, but I go 0. My goodness. That's crazy. I mean, the difference in what we believe we're doing versus what we're actually doing. Now, let's see what the actual optimal was. And this might be a little surprising to some. It was surprising to me. You can see kind of the core that all brought together here. Believed at 15.1, actual at 3.5, optimal at 7. Now, this was interesting. We saw a big, big drop in contact rates when you go past 7 attempts in an outbound case. Now, a lot of you are going to be like, Gabe, this isn't true. Guys, I'm just, don't shoot the messenger. I'm just telling you what the data said, right? Shoot the data. Shoot my data scientist team. Now, the one thing I do want to mention here that was super interesting was, although 7 was optimal, it was optimal in a specific time frame. What we found in the data is that great companies are doing things like recycling. So they'll run a cadence of 7 attempts for a certain time frame, then they'll let that sit dormant for a certain time frame and then recycle that again and hit them 7 times again. And that recycle time differed between company, but know that this is, you shouldn't probably just hit them 7 and then stop forever. Know that you run a play, you attack them 7 times, come back, run a different play later 7 times. So do note that, because I think that's an interesting differentiation there. All right, let's continue on, because we're just getting fun here. Okay, media is next. And if you remember media, those are the types of communication you can use in a cadence. So what do you guys think on this one? How many communication methods can a rep use in a prospecting cadence? This is inbound or outbound. Now, note that there's a little bit of a debate for this, and I'm going to maybe answer a couple of these questions while you guys choose. Is it 4, 6? And so I'm talking about phone or voicemail. Those would be two types of communication methods, right? Okay. Casey said, is this data primarily B2B or B2C sales data? Great question. Almost 100% B2B. Almost 100% B2B on that, Casey. Do I have optimal data on the recycle period? Michael, I don't actually have that with me. From what I could see in the data, anywhere between 2 weeks to 45 days was what people were kind of playing with some real outliers. But that was the ranges we were typically seeing, about 2 weeks to about 45 days. Jennifer, when you say run a play 7 times, does that mean play is phone, email, etc.? Yeah, Jennifer, that's total touches, right? So think of a touch as a phone call, an email, and a voicemail. That's 3 touches right there, right? If you did 4 phone calls and 2 emails, that's 6 touches. If you did 4 phone calls, 2 emails, and 1 social, then you hit your 7 touches, if that makes sense. Good. All right, Jen, survey says here, how many communication methods can a rep use in a prospecting cadence? Most people went for 6. A couple people went 7. Yeah, Emmanuel's actually going for it.
I went 10 because I'm thinking mail, advertising, go knock on the door, texting, video, email, social. I got 8 right there.
Yeah, yeah, this is a good question. There's certainly some debate on this. Again, we wanted to ask reps what they believed. We ended up with 7, almost 8, and I put an asterisk because there was almost 8 on that. So you got phone, voicemail, text, chat, email, social, direct mailer. There was a big debate on video. I like actually 8, Bob, but a lot of people actually in comments on the survey said they believe video is part of email. It's part of a different channel, so you can't use it by itself. But go with that for just a minute. Notice the difference in usage of what people believe they're doing year over year there. You're seeing social drop just a little bit there. Phone drop, and this is, again, believed or opinion data. But one of the questions you might want to be thinking about is, are you using all of these different types of communication methods? Don't fall in love with just email or phone. There's a lot out there, Bob.
Hey, it's 9, man. Emmanuel just said, what about fax?
yeah.
I love it.
Fax, you're right, Emmanuel. Why are you always calling me out, Emmanuel? I'm not
right. We're always learning here.
To do that. So anyways, there are definitely a lot of communication methods to use. One of the things we did find interesting when it comes to video, according to our data, only 10.4% of reps slash teams are using video and email. You know what that screams to me, Bob? Opportunity. That's still a big opportunity, I think, in the space. I know you're a big video guy, right?
Huge, huge. And not just in emails, but links to YouTube, links to, you know, a live video like we're doing here.
Amen. Amen to that.
We're soon going to be doing it from our watch.
Yeah. And Slate Gore just mentioned, you know, direct mailer underutilized. That was real interesting, Gord. You should hit me offline because we did. We ran a survey. We asked 500 executives from different industries which type of communication method they believe they would respond to best. And direct mail actually was on top. Direct mailer is what people believe they would respond to the best. And low, low, low percentage of people using that. So guys, you got to start to expand that horizon. And here's actually why. Is it better to use, you know, is it better to just be a cold caller, just an email marketer, a social seller, or should you expand your horizon and use multiple communication methods? This should be fairly easy to garner. So I'll let you guess that one really quick, but Jen, go ahead and give us a quick one on this one. Most people, yeah, three. Now, a lot of you might say, why didn't you go beyond three? One of the problems is if you saw it, we have such small amounts of people using direct mailer and video and email, et cetera, that my data science team didn't feel confident enough to say you should use seven communication methods. They felt very confident. So when I usually show this, I say, look, when it comes to media, people believe they're using about four types. They're actually predominantly just using two, but yeah, most of our data says three and indication says even more. Look at that 4x increase in your contact rates if you just get up and start not falling in love with one communication type. Expand your horizon. I think that's the message when it comes to different media there. Okay.
Let's Dave, we had a question. This is a great one.
Yeah.
Is the phone call a touch? If you just dial the number, it rings, and you don't leave a voicemail and nobody picks up.
And the way we looked at the data, yes. Anything that can be initiated is somebody kind of learning about you is one of the ways we kind of took a touch. So they could see it on their phone, their caller ID. I've now got an awareness of you. You've quote unquote touched me.
Right? An attempt's an attempt. Yep.
Attempt is an attempt. Yep. Okay. Next one was duration. And these are kind of often less thought about. A lot of people are thinking about attempts in media. Duration and spacing, not quite as much. So this might be fun. How long do you think the typical cadence, and this is using actual numbers, if I'm a sales rep, how long does my cadence actually last? That's first touch to last touch. 10 business days, 25 days, 60 days. How long is that cadence going here? I'm trying to see if there's some other questions here. Most people ignore missed calls. Yeah.
One in the Q&A here. In what time period should you be completing the seven touches? Remember you said seven was kind of the optimum? You have an optimum duration.
Well, that's perfect. We're going to go into it right now. Let's see. This is what actual is. Jen, go ahead and give us the data here. So it looks like most people thought it was about 24, 25 days there. A couple people said about 15 days. So, God, this group, Bob, like maybe I shouldn't have done this. You guys are nailing it here.
You probably read your InsideSales.com research that you felt.
Is that what's going on? I'm like, how come they're getting them all right? I'm
Googling it.
So this is actually a good question. This is looking at total days. This is not just business days. This is looking at total days here. So the average duration of what people believe they did was about a month. And that is, again, I've kind of had audiences and asked people how long they think their cadences are lasting. A lot of people say to me just top of mind a month. So I wasn't too surprised about that one. The actual data isn't too far from that. It's about 20, 25 days. The question is, how long should your outbound cadences be? What do you think? Should you go shorter than that? Should you keep it at a month? Should you go 15 days? This one, I'm going to try to trick them. Let's see if we can trick them, Bob. I don't know. This group's pretty smart. Do you go long like 30 or do you go short?
Yeah, well, look, if it's seven, 7 spread out over a month is, you know, 1.5, 2 a week. I'm kind of liking the 15 days and kind of, you know, hitting hard, hitting often.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. And Marcy's going with 8-year survey says you can see that here. Up to 8 days there is kind of what you saw. So Jeff and Jennifer made a good question. You know, should you do your 7 attempts in 30 days? This, again, guys, this was surprising. This is, you know, go after them and go after them fairly hard, you know, so you're going to hit them in, you know, about 2 weeks-ish. You know, if you break that into business days, you're hitting about 1.5 weeks there. You hit them multiple times and then you kind of rest them for a little while and then pick it up again and run another program. So Jennifer, the short answer is more like 7 touches in, you know, call that 1.5 weeks is kind of what the data said. Now, a couple of you are mentioning, is this similar in large enterprises and small enterprises? Guys, like I said, this is assembling literally thousands, millions of data points across every industry we can, companies large and small, all basically B2B. Do note, and some of you are saying this, if you're in the financial services, medical, certainly industry affects this. Truthfully, I didn't see as much on the company size. A lot of you on the chat are kind of saying, isn't this different for company size? We didn't see it as much in company size, but boy, did we see a difference in persona. If you are going after different personas, things definitely change. So no, this is an aggregated data set of kind of everything together, and it's a great place to start, but I think you got to dive into it as some of you are. Good. Laura, I like this question. How long is recommended to wait before starting that new cadence? As I mentioned, we see anything from 2 weeks to 45 days was kind of the range, Laura. And I think it's a great point to keep reminding, like, we've got to, you don't, I think, want to hit them just 7 times and be done. You want to make sure you are recycling. Another question that came in, are these touches automated? One of the things we really tried to do in the data set is any marketing touch we tried to eliminate. So this is just sales touches. And because of some of the automated tools, we don't know if those sales touches were automated, but certainly if it said like marketing at insidesales.com or had a marketing flavor, we took this data out. So this is sales cadence. That is a really good question. Okay, good. Let's continue on here and see if we can get spacing. Again, spacing is those time between activities. What do you think? What is optimal spacing of a cadence? And while you're doing that, I may try to get a couple more of these questions. Bob, I like this one from Sarah. You know, how many times should you recycle? I'm glad you brought that up, Sarah, because to me, if you've got a target account, you quote unquote never stop going after it. Now, you might take those recycle periods from 2 weeks to 3 months, but I love when people say this is a target account and I'm just not going to give up on it, but I may not hit it, you know, every week 7 times, yeah. Right?
Gabe, let me jump in real quick. I know this webinar was scheduled for 30 minutes, meaning we have just a few minutes left.
Yeah.
But I think because of the active interaction with the participants that we keep it going. If you have to jump off at the bottom of the hour, note that it will be available via recording. So look for that.
Yes, perfect, perfect. Guys, again, please keep in those questions coming. Dave, I don't know if I understand your question there. Did the study differentiate between a standard cadence versus a targeted campaign executed via Salesforce? Do you understand
maybe
that?
Maybe he means a specific product into a specific industry, geo, versus kind of, hey, I'm just trying to get someone on the phone kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, the thing we definitely saw, and I'll just repeat this, Dave, is a big difference between targeted cadences versus inbound, you know, responding to marketing leads. Pretty hard in the data to determine if this is a semi-targeted outbound versus an extreme ABM outbound. So can't answer your question directly, but definitely inbound versus outbound on that one. Okay, good. Yeah, what's the answer on that, Jen?
Yeah.
Yeah, up to 2 days. Yeah. And that actually is what most people believed when it came to spacing, you guys. And I'm just going to throw this one out here. You know, believed, most people thought they were in just a couple days. Actual, again, people are in general waiting about a full, you know, a good full week when it comes to their cadences. Because again, guys, you got to understand, when it sees a day, a lot of people are running cadences that are like 60 and 90 days. And they're doing, you know, as I showed you at the beginning, maybe 15, 20 touches across those 40, 60 days. So that definitely didn't help the actuals on that. But optimal is shorter is better. And I wasn't too surprised. I don't know if you're surprised about this one, Bob. But when it comes to, you know, where we are now, it's kind of an instant gratification generation. Like, if you're going to educate me, you hit me short. That was, I think, one big message that came out of the study. You know, not long-gated kind of philosophies here. Get them short, try to educate them on who you are, and then back off, which I thought was kind of interesting. Thoughts on that, Bob? What would you add to that?
Yeah, look, I agree with you. I think you got to go early and often. And I think, look, everybody's mobile, traveling. They're not sitting there, you know, waiting to read their email. They need to, you know, hit them with a social, hit them with an in-mail, hit them with a link to a video, whatever. But I like early and often for sure.
No doubt. So one more question, then we'll kind of wrap here. I like this question. You know, if I'm doing some math, I need to hit 7 touches and I've only got 8 days. Again, remember, this is general data here, but a lot of people, one of the things we couldn't see in the data is there's got to be some art here. You know, some people might want to do a call and email and a LinkedIn on day one, and then they wait 2 days, you know, and they do one more phone call. It was really hard to get exactness in that. So I've tried to give you some principles today, but know that sometimes people, yeah, they'll do multiple touches in one day and then skip 2 days and not touch at all. So there is an art and a science, as always, in sales. And I think that's kind of important to remember there. All righty. Let me finish up with content real quick. We could do a whole thing on content. Dang it. Time is always of the essence. I'm just going to flash. This is going to probably open up a lot. This is probably going to open up a lot of questions. But as we dove into content, here's some of the things we found. Voice messages. I don't believe it's dead. There's still some goodness there. Shorter the better. Got to keep it under 30 seconds. Video. As we looked at video, again, pretty short there. Doesn't mean there's not times to use it, but want to be thinking around that 60 seconds in video-based emails. And then so interesting, a couple of you were talking about direct mail. I love direct mail. I love it. We did a whole research study on direct mail, and we actually lined up. Most people don't realize there's about 7 different types of direct mail. Think of branded gifts, general gifts, handwritten notes, gift cards, all these different types of direct mails. The most effective is actually a handwritten note. So maybe put that in your back pocket as you think about adopting some direct mail strategy. So some fun things maybe to consider on content, a lot to probably talk about, but I'm going to wrap it up with that, you guys. So as you think about a cadence, let's not just sit down and shoot from our hip and guess anymore. I don't think I've given you all the answers, but I have given you principles, and they're the 5 pieces, the 5 pillars of an optimal cadence. Make sure you're thinking about attempts, number of total touches. Make sure you're thinking about media. Those are the types of touches. Remember, phone, voicemail, email, social, chat. There's a lot to think about there. More is, in this case, sometimes better. Duration, start to finish, spacing, time between activities. And last but not least is going to be content. So with that, I did want to make sure you guys check this out. Grab me on LinkedIn. I'd be offended if you didn't. We've got this cool kind of infographic that goes into some of the stuff we talked about today. And with that, Bob, you know, should we take a couple of questions? Do we need to end? I'll throw it back to you.
Well, let's do this. I'm going to give all attendees one reminder on the content, the contest. So you could go to next slide there.
Yeah, please.
One time. I think it might be one more after this. No.
One more.
Here we go. So look, I'm going to enter the contest, even though I don't need a pass to go to my conference. But here's my, just kidding. Here's my tip. My one takeaway was hit prospects up a lot in the first few days. You know, I used to think email, phone call, first day, wait a week, right? So that is changing my mind. So that's my tip that I took away. Gabe, a tip that you took away from your own presentation or the comments coming in from the audience.
Well, yeah, I mean, again, one thing is don't believe there's a one size fits all cadence, right? I think that's important. Number two, got to remember this is principle based education here. I'm not telling you exactly what to do, but I'm giving you five principles you better be thinking about if you want to maximize it in your own business. And then from there, you guys, I would just say, this is my data, and I know it's millions of data points across thousands of companies. What's your data? You know, have you looked at what's optimal attempts, duration, case, spacing, et cetera? You ought to take that on.
The let's have LinkedIn blow up on this. Everyone, get out, do a share. I think you'd agree with me. Great, valuable data, Gabe. Thanks so much for sharing this. A lot I learned, and if you learn something out there, get out to LinkedIn. Let's share it. And Gabe, if you want to take 5 minutes for those that can hang out, maybe do take a couple more questions.
Let me see if I can grab some of these. And I know, Bob, some people are using the Q&A. I'm mostly watching the chat box there. Maybe you could pull up the Q&A if there's anything I'm missing. Couple questions in here. I like this one on persona. Oh, yeah, Casey. So was there a certain title level contacted in this data manager, director, C-level, all the above? So this is, Casey, again, this is the dump it all into kind of a big bucket. And this was a little bit of everybody, title, industry, segment, meaning, you know, small company, big company, all put together. Three big differences in cadences. Let me just remind that to you, Casey. One, title level. You nailed one of them. Number two is going to be the inbound versus outbound. That's a kind of a big difference that we saw in the data. You see those cadences separating. And then number three, I can't remember, but it's an important one, and you'll have to hit me up later on that.
You know, Gabe, I know InsideSales.com did this research, not here, but in another study. And the question is the best time of day to call.
Yeah.
And even the best day of the week.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we're still playing with that, Bob. I mean, that still is holding fairly true. I've actually got a study I'm looking at right now to see if cold calling is really dead. We're looking at 1 billion phone calls, 1 billion. That'll be awesome. But that seems to still be holding true that beginning of the day and end of day is still better, right? When people are getting in 7 to 9, 4 to 6. Yeah. And then that middle of the week, that kind of Wednesday, Thursday is a little better than that Monday, Friday. So note, but you can't always max mine around it, but that's still kind of where people are going there.
Well, Gabe, we definitely have to have you back because well attended, great questions. Unfortunately, we can't get to all the questions. Reach out to either one of us. There's our contact information. Thanks again to InsideSales.com. Thanks to Gabe Larson.
Thanks, everybody.
And the attendees for taking time out of their day. Good selling, everyone.
Want more sales secrets? Go to salessecrets.io to receive copies of our latest research and best practice content to help you crush your quota.